Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, an Afghan teen raps against child marriage, and a forum explores why disarmament and non-proliferation issues are not just for men. But first, an ambitious strategy to end violence against children has been unveiled by UN health experts. It was launched by the World Health Organization, WHO, which says a new global approach is needed as around 1 billion children every year are affected. Despite the alarming data, WHO says that many cases of violence are hidden, unseen, or underreported. Daniel Johnson reports from Geneva.
Protection for children from violence already exists in international law. It's covered in the Convention on the Rights of the Child. Nonetheless, a recent study cited by World Health Organization, or WHO, indicated that up to 1 billion children experienced violence in 2015, physical, sexual, or psychological. That's one in every two children. WHO's Dr. Alex Butchart said that the problem is vast but unappreciated.
In referring to violence against children, we're talking about the kinds of violence that affect children most frequently in all countries. And this is interpersonal violence, not war, not collective violence, but interpersonal violence.
Out of all those affected, one in four are victims of physical abuse, and one in five girls have experienced sexual abuse. In some parts of the world, murder is also the leading cause of death among teenagers. Exposure to violence at an early age can impair brain development and lead to lifelong physical and mental consequences, which are a drain on public resources. Hence the call for a new approach unveiled by WHO, along with nine other UN agencies and partners. Here's Dr. Alex Butchart again.
Exposure to violence in childhood can lead to, and leads very significantly to, increases in alcohol and drug abuse, smoking and unsafe sex, for instance, having multiple sex partners, all of which puts these children at much greater risk later on of developing stroke, cancer, diabetes, liver disease, HIV, AIDS, and so forth.
The aim of the new WHO-led strategy is to encourage authorities and communities to take inspiration from tried and tested measures already in place around the world. Some of the policies offer legal solutions to preventing violence against children, such as tougher firearms controls in South Africa. This is estimated to have saved thousands of young lives. Other initiatives are more creative, like those promoting practical parenting in Kenya, Liberia, and Myanmar. Being able to demonstrate such savings is going to be crucial, WHO says, if its ambitious violence-cutting strategy is to be implemented across health, social welfare, finance, and justice sectors in countries rich and poor. Daniel Johnson, United Nations, Geneva.
An Afghan teenager is using rap music to advocate for an end to child marriage. Sunita Alizadeh, 19, has released a music video called Brides for Sale, which highlights the ordeal of young girls forced into marriage by their families. The issue is personal for Sunita, as her own mother had attempted to sell her to a potential husband, first when she was only 10 years old and then again when she was 16. Sunita now attends music school in the United States and hopes to become a women's rights lawyer. Ozong Agborsangaya Fiteu interviewed Sunita when she was at the World Bank in Washington, D.C. to take part in a forum on fragility, conflict and violence.
There are so many ways that war burns and harms children. There are many ways child marriage burns children. Girls who are still playing with dolls, they are having their own babies. So they're often complications, and girls die giving birth.
Have you always wanted to be a musician?
No. For me, music is a powerful tool for social change, and I really love music. And I want to keep making music, but it is not my only job.
So let me ask you something. You say you want to end forced child marriage. It's a really complex issue, as you know. So where do you think we should start?
I think we need to begin with families, because families in many places, they live with old thoughts and ideas. Parents think, I must marry my young daughter because it is tradition. Families need to know new ways, new ideas, and see other possibilities for their daughters. We have to work in the community and also with religion leaders to help change these traditions. So we also need to support girls.
Yes, yes.
See that there are other possibilities for themselves and so that they can believe in themselves. Of course, we also need governments and organizations to help these programs. And we have to work at all these levels to see the big change we need. Do you know why I believe that this can be done? It is because I was one of them. And now I'm here in front of you.
Disarmament and non-proliferation issues are not just for men. Women participants at a recent UN Peace Forum in Austria have learned. They are relevant just as much today as they were during the Cold War era, according to Juliette Kohler of the UN Office on Disarmament Affairs. The Women Higher Education for Peace event was the first of its kind and offered a platform for women to meet experts in the field and to network. It's also part of a wider initiative called Women's Scholarship for Peace, which provides training courses for women from the Global South. Ms. Kohler spoke to Jocelyn Sambira on the line from Vienna.
The forum was seen as a networking tool for women professionals to meet their peers, but also meet experts from disarmament and non-proliferation. And it was seen as something to complete the training courses. So we are not only teaching women about our activities and about disarmament, non-proliferation, and development, but we are also giving them the tools to actually find a job in this field and to meet people and to get involved right now and not in 5 years and not after completing master's degree and so on.
Disarmament and non-proliferation, when I read about it, when I hear about it, I don't hear a lot of women's voices. Why is that?
It's kind of obscure. People don't really know what it is. When they hear disarmament and non-proliferation, the first thought is that it's something old, that it's something from the Cold War, and that it's something that is only for political scientists and military attachés. But this is not true, and this is what we want to show. Everyone can contribute. And so this is also the aim of the forum, is to bring people from different fields and not only the usual crowd. And once you have accepted this, then both men and women can be involved, and not only the people from the Ministries of Defense and the Ministries of Foreign Affairs.
So what are the issues of today regarding disarmament and proliferation, if you can just give us one example?
It's really clear today when you look at the news that one of the issues of today is terrorism. And if all of these attacks had been conducted with weapons of mass destruction, then the consequences would have been much greater. And this is what people need to understand now, and this is what everyone needs to realize, and this is why we are working on this strong outreach and education campaign for women, but also for men. And I think it's also important to involve nowadays the young generation, and everyone needs to understand that this is an issue of today.
When you talk about job fair, that means that there must be a need for people with skills regarding this field. What kind of jobs are there? You know.
One of the examples we have is that we were recruiting people for our team and we were looking for IT specialists, and we also need more scientists. There is a strong campaign from, for example, the International Atomic Energy Agency in Vienna to hire more women in these fields because they just don't see the opportunity and they just don't apply. And I think this is the aim of the job fair, to show that you can contribute. And being a woman or being a man, you can do something in this field.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn.